Oh, I think we did it. Good morning, listeners. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Out there, all you diners and travelers and imbibers and whatnot, we're going to be talking to one of our favorite restaurateurs, Michele Savoia. Michele, you were born in Italy, weren't you?
No, actually, yeah, it's a little more complicated. I was born in Brooklyn, New York. And then at a little age, 2 years old, my father took me and my brother, and we grew up in Italy, in Sicily. Unfortunately,
Okay,
my mother
where in
passed away.
Sicily? I don't know if I ever knew that. Where?
In a town on the south coast, Gela.
Oh, I know
Right?
Jayla.
Yeah, you must have
Yeah.
gone through, everybody passed through Gela to go
Yeah.
either to Agrigento or Ragusa.
Oh, yeah. But Jayla is Victorian, isn't it?
Yeah, near
Era.
Vittoria. It's like about half hour from Vittoria.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of course, you know I love Sicily. Now, you've been in this restaurant industry for a long time. Was that your first choice of livelihood and occupation?
It was like at the beginning, not as a restaurateur, of course, but I worked in the industry when I moved back in the States and found myself in New York doing different things, but always with a passion for the industry in a way. So I ended up working a few restaurants in New York as a front of the house. And always good, be in a good relations with the chefs because I always admire that the effort and the hard work and the dedication that those people that put in the work in order to for a restaurant to be successful.
And what about
So,
Cindy, your wife and business partner? Was this her first
right.
hospitality?
Cindy, yes. Well, actually, we met in the industry. I was working in a French restaurant. She was working in an Italian restaurant, and where my brother was working. So we met, and then we kept working the business. She was mostly bartending and bar managing, and then after that, we almost after we got married, we almost decided that we were going to open a small little restaurant in Brooklyn, actually. At the time, we were looking at a space in Williamsburg back then, before the whole development happened. But then we kind of got a cold feet, and living in New York was stressful, one thing or another. And then we left. We completely abandoned the city, and we went to spend a few months in Costa Rica, thinking about maybe to settle there for a while. But then after that, we came back in the States, and then we touched base with Cindy's parents that they live here in a peaceful area. One thing or another, we end up staying, and then 2 years later that we were back from Costa Rica, we decided to look for a space and open something here in the city that we thought it was going to be a good addition to the landscape, especially at the time of the restaurant industry. And here we go, here we are. We founded
Now,
this
when did
little
you
Irish
open
bar.
it?
It
What
was
was the
in.
year you opened it?
Yes, we opened it in September of 2000. So we just celebrated our 25th year in business. And
Well, you picked a stressful industry in a way.
right. And honestly, when we opened, we took over this old Irish bar that was here for 47 years. And our idea was like, because we loved the place, it was small and cozy, it needed to be renovated anyway. But we were thinking about, opening a little place like in the style of a tapas bar with some small plates and decent wine list and all that. But then little by little, it evolved in in an actual restaurant. And when we started to cook a little pasta here, a little pasta there, then all of a sudden,
a little sardines, a little Sicilian, this and that. Your idea though was you wanted a neighborhood place, right?
Right. That's why, you know, we carry over some of the people that used to come here into the new in the new name of dish or whatever, and some of them are still coming even 25 years later.
Well, I guess I'm getting at is we're trying with the On the Menu Radio to find out what's happening in the restaurant industry, talking to people who are not in major markets where there's an established tourist trade, such as we could have interviewed people from New York, Chicago, San Francisco. But what happens in Pittsburgh or any other mid-sized market? I'm just throwing this out at you, but basically, from my experience, I think that the whole restaurant industry is totally different from what it was when you were setting out, or what anybody thinks it was. It's always been a risky business, but now there are very many indeterminate factors, unknown circumstances, and so forth. What I want to know is, am I imagining this, or is it a very different industry today?
You know what? Honestly, I think there is some difference. Definitely some difference. And the major changes, I think, happened after the pandemic anyway. So a lot of things changed about the industry in terms of, for example, the workforce that all of a sudden, it was already difficult to find, especially in the small cities like Pittsburgh, to find staff, you know what I mean, kitchen staff. You know,
I know it's a fact, but why is it?
To me, honestly, is the fact that back, for example, in New York, there was a lot of people, like really, really good people, that they were immigrants coming from Mexico, Guatemala, Nicaragua, people which their major skills was not to have the skill, but was the skill of listening, learning, be patient, be respectful. And those ones, they still carry on a lot of the business in a city like New York. I recently spoke to somebody that, was asking if I have a Mexican, and I said, I wish I had some, but I don't, but the stuff I have, it's been with me with many years, and I treat them as well as I can, so there is a lot of staying power. But honestly, it was a big difference. I noticed the first time around when I opened that I lost a couple of people right at the beginning after a few months. And then I realized that I need to do something in here, which was like to put myself a chef coat and go in the kitchen and try to run the business, because there was me and my wife livelihood, and they said, I cannot let this go like that. And I know that even if I'm not a trained chef, I do have a passion for this, and I know what people like it. I had experience in this kind of in the service industry regarding, dealing with the customers. And it started to pay off right away, because I was putting all my heart in what I was doing. And the results, started to come up. But going back to the fact how this industry is different, and especially after the pandemic, it's also in a trickle effect cause things like, for example, the hours. Restaurants that they now close much earlier, or they open just a few days a week. And And even myself, I had to do some changes because before that, you know, we used to open our kitchen was open until midnight, and the bar was open until 2. The landscape of our neighbor changed over the years, and right now it's in a strange kind of limbo. It was becoming bad, and now it's trying to come back up. But that changed the perspective of going out for many people. And 25 years in it, honestly, I don't feel the pinch. Actually, business is becoming, it became better and better over the course of time, because also people, they really look a little more to have an experience that is worth the money that they spend. And so I feel that over the time, how can I say? Well, yeah, the people, like I said, they want to spend the money, but they want to get something in return. Something that
I mean,
is
how
good,
did you adjust
good.
Your business to accommodate that?
Right. And, you know, I do things, you know, sometimes a little stressful. Like, for example, I change my menu online on a daily basis. I found some new ingredients or some seasonal stuff, and I always, you know, some items on the menu, they're always there because I can even think about to take it out because I will have a lot of complaints. So I try to play the best I can with other items that people, they be like, they look forward, you know. Every year there is some items I do all the time because the season. Like, for example, I just made a big batch of fresh green olives, cracked green olives that you can do only once a year when there is the harvest of the fresh olives that I get from California. Or this year, for example, like every year, I have so much fun with the farmers market, with the local produce. That even though they are a little more expensive than what you can buy from a regular purveyor, still the quality and the beauty of those items is worth it to spend a little more, maybe get a little food cost a little higher, but an happy customer is important because it will come back and it will spread the voice about how they like it, you know?
Yeah.
And Michele,
I'm sorry? Michele, for those who don't understand the wonderful product that you put on your plate called sardines.
Right.
Oh, Peter loves the sardines,
isn't it? Let's get it in print. Or in more than print. This is a delicacy, not only to man.
Yeah, I mean, you have things on your menu people don't get other places.
It's saying that
you have things on your menu that diners can't get other places, that you have that quality about your restaurant.
Right. Things that, I remember back in there, besides sardines, I remember it was very hard to find octopus on a menu. Now it's pretty much many restaurants, they cook octopus. Stick with also because I'm trying to stick with some on my roots, by the way. You know, being Sicilian, growing up in an island, seafood is like one of the major staples in our diet. And like I say, sardines, they were like everywhere. Sardines,
yeah.
Fresh anchovies, all the other fruits of the sea.
Let's let everybody know that they need to come back for the next Steeler game and the one after that and the one after that. Because the secret to last Sunday's game was exactly that. And we hope to see you before the evening is over.
Michele,
yes.
You mentioned price, though. Everything is more expensive. All I have are people complaining about everything, even down to a dozen eggs. How do you adjust that? Do you up your prices and drive more people away? What do you do?
You know what? Honestly, you know, I had to, I keep, especially lately, I keep an eye on invoices anytime I know I get deliveries. And sometimes I see items that they go up on a weekly basis. So, honestly, at one point I was trying to absorb some of that, but at the same time also I'm trying to keep like a decent living standard for my staff, and so I've been raising their wages at the same time. So it's like I put an extra dollar here, but you know there's a couple of dollars more getting out of here and there. But me and my wife, we firmly believe to to treat our staff the best we can. You know,
that's one way of keeping them down. I mean, that's a good way of keeping staff, is paying them adequately.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
now, what
right,
are you doing
right.
about this? When I had my restaurant, the income from the bar was essential. I mean, it was probably the way you could tell if you were going to make it or not with the restaurant. Now, I understand people are not only are their imports going to be taxed and stuff and booze, but people are drinking less. I don't know why they're drinking less, and I don't know what they're doing instead. But how does that affect your business? Is it true, and how does it affect your business?
Right. I didn't have the time really yet to analyze it deeply this, but I do know that, for example, the younger generations, they are drinking less. And so we've been expanding our non-alcoholic offerings. But I do see that still the people that they're like, you know, the little older clientele, they still enjoy their bottle of wine with their dinner. So it's a situation that is in flux, I would say. Of course, you know, the price of alcohol now with the tariffs and all that, you know, bottles of wine, the price are going up. So then you need to increase the price by the glass and all the kind of situation. But anyway, it's interesting to know that the younger people now, they drink less, even when they come out for dinner. And actually, some of them, they eat a lot. They eat really a lot. But they definitely
That's
drink
funny.
Less. Yeah, it is funny.
Does it balance out for your bottom line if they're just eating more?
Yeah, for now, seems yes, because we keep, like I said, we keep monitoring and whatever. But the numbers are where they should be. I wish I'm not had to increase more and more. Right now, for example, I'm keeping an eye on the price of I have one item, the beef. It's like a Piedmontese beef because I use my flank steak. But I noticed the price in the last, 3 weeks, it went from, let's say, I don't know, $10 a pound to $15 a pound. So that's a big chunk. I'm not even talking about Parmigiano Reggiano and imported mascarpone, you know. And sometimes the people say, why you don't use this mascarpone that is domestic? And I'm like, yeah, I can use it. But honestly, the tiramisu is not going to be the same because the mascarpone that is made in Italy is far superior of any mascarpone that is made here in the States. So that's one of the little more lovely details about that regarding the sourcing. Yeah, I can source the things that cost less. because they're made here or whatever, but for an Italian restaurant especially, the situation is not optimal, you know. Olive oil is another one. That's the same thing. Now I'm juggling with olive oil from Sicily, from this vendor, from Greece, trying to stay away from oils that are blended with the other oils that come from different countries, all that. But so it becomes like you need the extra time to compare to before, because before I was like, who cares? I know what I'm getting. And now I'm going to get this good olive oil, this good wine, this good cheese. But now I got to take a look at it and see that the price is increasing. And unfortunately, at some price, they went up. I still feel that our prices are not that crazy, because I still getting comments of customers that they say that we have a reasonable prices. And I'm like, geez, I should increase it more. So, you know, it's a constant looking at this kind of variables that are happening right now.
Yeah, it's not a passive role do you play. You have to be active on all fronts. And innovation, I mean, that's the thing. Everybody seems to want something new. And this time of year, all these different organizations and study groups and whatever are predicting what's going to happen, the future of the restaurant industry. Do you have any ideas about what's going to happen, changes that are coming in restaurants?
You know what? Myself, I think that we may go through a rough spot, but I think it's in the human nature of be able to go out and eat something. That is something that it will not change. You know, when I think about the 4,000 years in many parts of the world, in the Mediterranean, people that were already set up little restaurants in a way where they serve traveling merchant and all that. That is something that I do not believe that it will change for the world. I think, like I said, that we're going through a rough patch. Things that will fix themselves, and maybe there's going to be casualties in the process. But human nature, it will be always present, the need to be able to say, you know what, I'm not going to cook tonight. I want to go out with my friends. I want to go out and celebrate an event. Or the thing is, yeah, like that I will say that the new restaurateur that they're going to come on board on a daily basis, whatever, they should keep in mind that we are here as a restaurateur to make people happy. And unfortunately, yes, you got to put yourself behind, because the customer is the more important. Your struggles as a restaurateur in terms of labor, prices, whatever, is true and present, but that's something that you got to fight yourself with at the best you can. But at the end of the day, we got to be there to make people happy, because that's important. And people, they will make their choices. They say, why should I go to the restaurant where they don't even care about me, and the food is mediocre, the atmosphere is not good, and all that kind of stuff, while I can go to somewhere else where actually they try to make an effort to do that. And so those are the restaurants that they're going to keep going and be present, and they will keep this industry afloat for the future.
Well, you know, this is, you hit on something. I mean, when you walk in the front door of Dish Osteria, you have a sense that there's something special about it. And what it is something that's difficult to describe, but it's hospitality with a capital H. And
right,
the feel good.
Right.
I mean, customers feel good. I mean, that's the hard thing to communicate, how you do that. So maybe there will be a different brand of restaurateur in the future, huh?
Yeah, it's true. You know, it's true, because Like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, this is an industry where the numbers matters, which is true. The number matters. You know, if the numbers they don't make sense, then the business will not survive, and the whole thing will go down to the bottom. But at the same time, like you just say, you know, the hospitality is so important. It's so important, and I guess the new restaurateurs or whatever, I mean, maybe what I'm going to try to say is this. I spent years in my young age to go out to eat. And of course, you know, I didn't have as a young person in Italy, whatever, I didn't have enough, a lot of money to go out. But I did appreciate always the place where I went. And even it was a little guy in the countryside that he said, listen, I don't have really much food left, but I can cook this rabbit. So that becomes, there comes hospitality, you know, there comes a moment that you create memories, long last memories for you that you go out in the restaurant. So I urge, honestly, people in the business to focus on that. I know that there is many other aspects of the business that need to be taken care of. Food is the major thing, because you can have all the great service or the great atmosphere or whatever, but if the food is not there, it's not going to work.
You're good, not very secret weapon. Our weapon is that you have great food, so that's also good. But
right.
You know, it's so good talking to you, Michele, because I mean, you talk to a lot of people, and it's depressing. Everybody's so negative, and you're very positive about the future, aren't you?
I honestly am. And I'm hopeful because. I don't know, I've been this doing for 25 years. I don't know for how long I'm going to be doing it. But the day I stop, I would like to be able to go out and find a little restaurant where the people, they will try to do the same thing.
I agree, I agree. I'm with you. Well. Well, I mean, thank you so much. Keep cheering us all up, because you sound like it's not such a dire situation that hospitality is in now, and there is a future, and the people keep doing it, and for the reasons you outlined. I thank you for talking to us all about it.
Oh,
and,
you're
and
welcome.
Continue on. We love Dish, and continue on. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Peter. And I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.